Welcome to Zuma Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
I am going to cover a topic today that is unfortunately one that I have to discuss on a regular basis, and it frustrates me, and so I'm going to use my frustration today over this topic to hopefully educate you so that you can not only have this information for yourself and your family, but when you meet or know somebody who's got this issue, you can let them know there are better options than what they're probably being told. And the topic I want to talk about today is kidney stones. Let me tell you the backstory to our reason for doing this particular topic today. Last week, as I've unfortunately had to deal with very often, I was fielding a concern from one of our Zuma members who had been to her doctor who had unfortunately had some kidney stones. And so she goes to her doctor, and the doctor's asking her, you know, what she's taking both pharmaceutically and in terms of supplements. And so she was, you know, rattling off some of the supplements or showing him some of the supplements that she was taking from Zuma. And he looked at the X2O and he said, yeah, you need to definitely stop taking that because that's contributing to your kidney stones. Now, again, this was just last week, and I've had to deal with this on a regular basis for years now, where somebody is told by their doctor that they're consuming too much calcium and therefore they've got to cut back on their calcium because that is causing the formation of kidney stones. And I'm here to tell you that nothing could be further from the truth. So unfortunately, and again, I don't believe that the doctor would do that out of malice. I'm not suggesting that the doctor was trying to create harm or challenge for the Zuma member, but this is just a sad reality that the doctor unfortunately probably just has no knowledge or very little knowledge in this area. So let me take you back to a study that was done in the mid-1990s. In fact, it was the largest prospective epidemiological study that was ever published on calcium and kidney stones. It was actually published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And it was an interesting finding because what they discovered was it really isn't a problem with calcium consumption. It goes deeper than that. So they concluded that high calcium intake is associated with, get this, a decreased risk in symptomatic kidney stones, okay? Now, what's interesting about this study is this was done and conducted with 45,000 men. And if you don't know anything about clinical studies, that is a huge study. That is an expensive study. That's a study that takes a long time to conduct when you have that many people. Here's what they found. They found that individuals who consumed less than 850 milligrams of calcium per day were at an increased risk for higher incidence of kidney stones. So the authors also concluded that the calcium may have a protective effect, listen to this, by binding to oxalate, remember that word, oxalate, in the gut and preventing its absorption in the form that leads to kidney stones. So in another study, the calcium restrictions, we went the other way. Instead of giving people more calcium, we restricted their calcium in that study, led to an increase in absorption and excretion of oxalate, there's that word again, in the urine in both normal subjects and patients with kidney stones. So the authors and the investigators concluded that urinary oxalate appears to be more important than urinary calcium in the formation of stones. In fact, when you look at a kidney stone, it's actually calcium oxalate. That is the makeup of a kidney stone. So this conclusion was further supported. They did a subsequent study on long-term calcium supplementation by premenopausal women. And they found in that study that there was no increase in kidney stone formation. In fact, calcium supplementation lowered both the urinary oxalate and the urinary phosphorus, which is also thought to be a contributing factor for kidney stones, by binding both agents in the intestine. Okay, so interesting. This is a study, again, going back to the mid-1990s, but yet we still have in modern-day society, unfortunately, some doctors who have not understood this connection, who have not made recommendations that would be wise. So in essence, by somebody, whether it's a doctor or a health practitioner or just your family member who thinks they know more than you, saying, hey, oh yeah, if you got kidney stones, you got to cut back on calcium. That's like saying we're going to put out a fire by throwing liquid on it, and the liquid we're going to choose is gasoline. Not going to work, right? So it's the lack of calcium. It's why calcium is so important, because oxalates are in our diet. We're going to consume oxalates, okay? In other words, unless you're specifically eating a low oxalate diet, you're going to have oxalates coming into your body through your just normal, you know, day-to-day life in the foods that you're eating, and it's okay. Oxalates aren't bad in themselves, but high oxalate foods combined with a low amount of calcium in your body are going to create a problem. As you just heard in that study, they talked about how having less calcium gives the oxalates that are in your body, in your gut, in your blood, less binders, less places to park themselves. If they can park themselves and attach themselves to calcium, then they can be excreted through the body, both urinary and through defecation. They can be excreted without creating crystals and forming stones. But if we're low in calcium, we have a much greater likelihood that we're going to form stones. So you might be wondering, what are those foods that are either high or low in oxalates? So let me give you a quick short list. There's certainly more than this, but let me give you just a short list of high oxalate foods, right? Potatoes and sweet potatoes and yams, most beans and legumes, seeds and nuts, wheat bran, soy, tofu, miso, raspberries, spinach, chard, rhubarb, beets, chocolate, processed meats, pumpkin, eggplant, grapefruit, and grapefruit juice, right? All of those are high oxalates. There's a lot of healthy stuff on that list, stuff that I personally eat on a regular weekly basis that I'm not ready to give up because there's a lot of health benefits to many of those foods, but I also have to understand that those are also high in oxalates. So if I was somebody experiencing kidney stones as an example, well, first and foremost, as we just discussed, I'm going to start increasing the amount of calcium I'm taking into my body, right, so that there's binder sites for these oxalates. But at the same time, if I'm trying to get over this hump, so to speak, of having too much oxalate in my body, I'm going to go to a low oxalate diet. So what would be included in a low oxalate diet? And again, you can do your own research online. You'll find all kinds of great lists that list this out. But things like coffee, believe it or not, is a low oxalate. So sometimes drinking a little coffee can actually help with that. Low-fat dairy, bananas, cantaloupe, papaya, water, lemons, broccoli, iceberg lettuce, bok choy, peppers, and the list goes on and on. So there's other alternatives for people who are experiencing kidney stones and need to lower the oxalate level in their body, at least temporarily. Now, again, once we get that calcium level brought back up to healthy ranges and we're continually giving our body enough calcium on a daily basis, we shouldn't have to worry much, if at all, about high oxalate foods. Okay, that's the advantage here of having enough calcium in your body. So there's some new research, though, that's come out. Remember, the study I just cited was back from the mid-1990s. There's some new research that's just come out that is talking about, they're discovering something that they call the urobiome, okay? The urinary tract itself has its own microbiome, its own little biodiverse environment, and they're calling this the urobiome, and it's home to various microorganisms, okay? There's some recent research that was done in Thailand where they found that certain bacteria within the urobiome actually play a critical role in promoting or preventing stone formation. So here we are, we're in a process where we're now fast forwarding into 2024, and we're seeing that beyond just calcium and getting enough adequate calcium, there's now a microbiome aspect to minimizing or preventing kidney stone formation. Okay, so the study actually showed that Lactobacillus acidophilus, commonly referred to as L. acidophilus, help prevent the formation of calcium crystals that cause the kidney stones. So what they also found in contrast is that E. coli promoted kidney stone formation. So why would you have excessive amounts of E. coli? Well, when your microbiome is out of balance, you are going to have higher levels of E. coli in your body. So it plays back into gut health. It plays back into microbiome health as to regulating the amount of E. coli that's in your body. We all have some, but we certainly want to minimize the amount of E. coli we've got. So the urinary tract of healthy folks, right, is going to have a wide variety of bacterial species in it, okay? And the lactobacillus, or L. acidophilus, as we talked about, has the ability to help make some positive changes in that urinary microbiome, okay? And that supports against the formation of stones, actually supports kidney health in general. So for people who are maybe in the process of battling kidney issues or starting to see signs of chronic kidney disease, getting this microbiome in your body balanced, and especially in the urobiome, as they're, again, now terming that, in the urinary tract section of the body, that's going to help, right? But the oxalate, again, which is obtained through our diet, which typically, again, binds to calcium, it'll leave through the gut. But sometimes excess oxalate, again, can be absorbed into our bloodstream. And when it's in there, it can bind with the calcium in the urine, and then it can form these calcium oxalate kidney stones. So you can kind of see this connection here, right? So what they found in the study is the L. acidophilus reduced the formation, growth, and clumping of these calcium oxalate crystals. So by having a better balance of the microbiome, and that leads to a better balanced urobiome, you are reducing the formation of these potential calcium oxalate crystals, which form the stones. They also found that the acidophilus helped prevent the crystals from sticking to the kidneys, which again can cause these crystals to enlarge and then eventually form the stones. And like I just mentioned, the reverse was true with E. coli. That actually increased the growth and the clumping of the crystals. Okay, so we now know that maintaining balance in the microbiome is not just related to our gut health, that microbiome balance can be supportive in helping to further protect against things like kidney stones, and overall, in general, helping to support the overall health of your kidneys. So what they found is that probiotics, if you're taking oral probiotics, not only can they travel through the digestive tract and colonize in the gut, where we often talk about the benefits of these probiotics that you would take, they can also influence the urobiome composition. Okay? So now again, they aren't as effective in the urobiome as they are in the digestive tract, because the digestive tract is where a lot of those probiotics are going to park and reside and grow, which is good because our gut health is extremely important. But remember, our gut health also influences our microbiome health, right? So when we talk about, as an example, the Xyome 365 being a super strong prebiotic for your body, remember, part of the balance of your microbiome is having a good combination of healthy prebiotics and probiotics. So what happens is, as you're working hard to make sure your gut health is in good stead, that then leads to a default of increasing the overall gut microbiome health, again, using good quality microbiome-supporting products like your Xyome 365 and like your Zuma probiotics. We're now increasing gut health, microbiome health, and diversity. We're also supporting the natural immune system, which, again, as we know, resides in the gut. But now what we're also finding through some of the more recent studies is, when we're working in this area to support our body in this area, either through healthy diet and or a combination of that and supplements like we just talked about, we're now indirectly starting to influence other areas of the body that have their own unique biomes, if you will, including the urinary tract, which they call, again, the urobiome. So what we're finding now through the more modern research is that, you know, when we're balancing gut health, when we're balancing microbiome, when we're increasing the diversity of these species of bacteria in our body, that there's a lot of good that can come from it, not just for gut health. We're starting to learn a lot more things, including the gut-brain connection, where it can have influence on brain health. And now we're talking about today kidney health, or more specifically, helping to reduce or minimize the chances of forming a kidney stone. And by the way, one little side note here. One of the other reasons that people form stones is that they are dehydrated. So that's another challenge that people unfortunately overlook when it comes to kidney stones. People who are having problems with kidney stones are oftentimes chronically dehydrated. So what happens is their urine concentration is stronger. Those of you who have ever gone through periods of dehydration, you know that. You can always tell when you're using the restroom if you're dehydrated because the color of your urine is usually much darker, tends to be more yellow, right? And there tends to be a much stronger odor to the urine. But when you're properly hydrated and you're drinking your X2O every day, you're getting that internal deep cellular hydration, you notice that that improves quite a bit. Well, one of the things that's also true is that when we are dehydrated, our body's ability to minimize the formation of potential calcium crystals, oxalate crystals, again, in this case, in the kidneys, it reduces because we are already dehydrated. So the concentration in the urine is higher. So by staying properly hydrated, we are also minimizing our chances of creating and forming a kidney stone, which, again, as you can see, coming full circle is why I get so frustrated when I hear somebody reporting to us that their doctor has told them they should really stop using X2O because it's a contributing factor to their kidney stones. And again, as you can just see by what I illustrated with the calcium connection as well as the hydration connection, that's really bad advice in my opinion. So the good news and the take-home message today is this. You don't have to be a victim of kidney stones. Stay properly hydrated. Give your body an adequate amount of calcium every day that it can use and put to work in the body. And start focusing, if you're not, or stay focused on keeping your gut health in good stead with good prebiotics and probiotics because they have indirect effects in the biome areas of other parts of your body. Guys, I hope that information was helpful to you. And I certainly, again, appreciate you being on this line with me today.